Jen! Jen! Jen, wake up!
Okay.
Get up! Come
All right,
here.
I'm coming.
It's the door,
All right,
Jen.
Here I am. What, Drew? What?
We got it all wrong.
I'm John.
And I'm Drew.
And you're listening to The Hourcut,
our ever-growing library of everything, 1 hour at a time.
Hey.
This is show number addendums 4.
Hey, before we get into addendums 4,
we go through the door.
I want to note that we last episode, the last episode we'll discuss in this episode, on our digital music access, we were talking about donations.
Well, hang on, we could save that, can't we?
No, I want to talk about
it. You
want to
talk about it right now?
Let's talk about it right now.
We talked about the donuts page.
Yeah. Now we have a donut page, and we've received our first donation.
Yeah,
we got it tonight. It was pretty tasty. Yeah.
Should we point out the super fan?
Yeah, I think we gotta point out super fan Deanna.
Deanna Dedeke
and her
donutting
ways.
All of your donations are put to good use.
Yeah, absolutely.
They're not a single.
We don't squander your donations.
Yeah. We accept any and all forms of donation, and they will be appropriated in a way that I believe you would find satisfactory.
Befits the archive.
Yeah. So do continue to send in donations. We need your support. And the donuts page is still there, right?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, good.
Yeah. Until further notice. until we get tired of donuts.
Well,
and that's not happening.
Until... You know, until we've solved the problem.
Yeah, yeah. Until we've reached our quota.
It's going to take a lot of donuts.
Donutta. That's not right. Addendums 4.
We do it at, every 15 episodes.
Yes.
We have this show. However.
With this, in this instance, we're a little
13,
shy of 15. Yeah.
But that's because we did like.
We delayed the last addendum because we wanted to keep Awesome
Spooky
Month
intact.
Yeah. Yeah.
But then we included those episodes in the
next
addendum.
Yeah.
So
they're
now
covered.
We're a few episodes short, but I don't think that will slow us down.
No.
Because we got a lot to talk about.
We
and
do.
I think we put a call out on our last addendum show when we were like, look, please do comment.
Yeah.
And tell us your thoughts.
Tell us we're wrong. And you did.
And you did. And you did. And we're glad.
Yeah. That's good.
So we've got some things to talk about. In some cases, we were wrong. In some cases, we were right.
Yeah, and in some cases, some of us were right, and some of us were wrong.
Yeah. I think I know to what you're referring, and you're wrong about you being right.
I don't know about that.
Is that our first one?
We'll talk
about
it.
Well, what's our first?
Maybe.
What's the first episode?
First one we're talking about, episode 48.
Are you sure?
On movie theaters, yeah.
Are we... Yeah, okay, movie theaters.
Are you sure?
This
You're wrong.
A topic that was challenging because of our predilections and previous conversations, yeah?
Yeah. We refer to it as the lost episode, I think.
And then we found it.
Yeah.
Did we get mad at each other on that episode?
We didn't. But the interesting thing is
before we recorded that episode, we got very mad. We yelled.
Yeah. Did we do that in person or was that,
that was in person.
All online?
That was in
okay.
person.
That one was in person. Okay. Well, then since the recording of this episode, which I think that... that episode progressed in a fairly professional manner without a whole lot of bickering between the two of us. Since then, like a week ago, we got into it again, but this time online.
Was it a week ago?
It was a week or 2 weeks ago.
Was it just about the chase again?
Yeah. Maybe it was more than that. Maybe it was like a month.
Our argument has become centered around that movie theater.
It is, yeah. The Chase Park Plaza Theater is like ground zero of Drew's inaccurate assessment of movie theaters.
No. We won't go into it again. But I'm right about that. And you conceded that I was.
In as much, you were right about some things, yes.
We continue
your perspective
to have differing desires for movie theaters.
Right.
But that doesn't stop us from arguing about them.
Right.
But there is a recent development here in St. Louis that you went to the
I participated in. Against my better judgment, I should point out.
You were amped about it. I got the sense beforehand that you were like, oh, man, yes, finally, yes. And, well, that's why they...
That's where the discussion came from, right?
Yeah. This was incited in St. Louis, downtown St. Louis, which is a small area of the city.
Relatively.
Relative to what people think of as St. Louis. There's not, honestly, not a lot to do down there. And now... There's a movie theater, right?
Yeah, first movie theater downtown in 10 years.
MX Movies. That's the letter M, the letter X.
Yes,
movies.
Which stands for Mercantile Exchange.
That's
which
the building.
That's the name of the building that it's in.
Right.
There's a bunch of restaurants there.
Yeah.
There is this movie theater.
And
such as it is.
As you and I both looked into this, right?
Yeah.
So I think both independently researched what... how this theater came to be.
We consulted our sources.
We both learned that the purveyor, the organization that made this possible is the same one that
owns the Chase.
Owns and operates the Chase.
Yeah.
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 And so I, of course, made a snide remark about what you would be able to expect at this new theater. To which that sort of like reignited all of our deep-seated anger towards one another. Yeah.
Yeah, I think that's sort of where it came from.
I don't know if we came to this in the episode or not, but where I think we sit now in this conversation or in this ongoing battle is I believe that the owners operators of Chase Park Plaza movie theater.
Yeah.
Do not respect movies
do not respect them as much as you do
to show them or celebrate them as perhaps the movie maker would like them to be shown or celebrated.
Okay. Now I'm gonna concede in this argument actually a bit. Because I still like the Chase.
Yeah.
I don't think it's a superior theater,
but I think it's an
adequate theater, which is where we differ. You do not think it's an adequate theater.
Yeah.
Now, yeah, so this MX Movies place, it's the same company, yeah. St. Louis Cinemas, that runs the Chase also operates MX Movies. Now, I think it is an independent developer who worked on this.
Yeah.
It's been very hard for me to exactly figure out who to blame
for
this.
Who to get mad at, right?
Yeah, really. Because everybody... So, well, let me get back to the story at hand. So this place, first movie theater in 10 years in downtown St. Louis. It opened in January.
Okay.
And it has from the beginning proclaimed itself a dine-in theater. This is part of a trend. We alluded to it in the episode, but we didn't really talk too much about it. And to this day, I don't know that we can still because neither of us have actually experienced the whole dine-in thing. I remain skeptical of it.
Yeah.
But so this is a dine-in theater, but. When I was notified about its grand opening, I realized that the food service was not actually going to be taking place that night.
Right.
So they were opening, they were going to show movies, and they were going to have a little party or reception to celebrate the fact that, hey, grand opening, right?
Yeah.
But they explicitly stated that there was not going to be any food service. And I thought, okay, well, this will be an interesting way to test this venue because I can go to it now and I can see it as I would a normal movie.
Mm.
And then I can go back and test out the whole dine-in thing. And that'll be like the perfect comparison where I can finally, you know, put to rest my reservations or solidify them. Yeah. The problem is that the reception was oversold. So there's three theaters.
Yeah.
They seat about, I think one seats 70, one seats like 90, and the other one seats like 115 people. Okay. All three theaters were sold out.
Yeah.
There were three shows that night, all starting at about the same time.
Yeah.
They were all sold out. And then in addition to that, the owners sold tickets just to the reception part.
Right.
Okay. Which included like a drink ticket.
So you have almost
250
people.
300
just
people.
Just for the movie.
Right. Just there for the movie.
Already there for the
movie. All starting at the same time. Yeah. I just want to reiterate this. I'm just because there are a lot of things
Everyone's
that could have been
there
done
at the same time
to mitigate what problems ensued. But
right.
none of those things were done,
and
which will get us back to our original point. I think.
On top of the 250 people,
there were also I forget the exact amount. It might have been 50. It might have been more than that. Mm-hmm. But there were they sold just reception tickets.
Right.
Right. Now this theater is it's on the second floor of the MX building.
Okay.
There will be a marquee on the outside of it, right along the main thoroughfare.
They're good with marquees.
They're very good with marquees. The marquee wasn't there when I got there. So my first thought as I'm walking up to this place is, where the hell is this theater, right?
Your constant struggle.
And so I get into the theater.
Yeah.
And if had it not been for a bunch of people moving in a particular direction, I would not have known where to go.
Yeah.
There are no arrows or any signs or anything like that. And I get upstairs to the lobby proper.
Okay.
And again, I can't see anything. I can't tell where anything is supposed
the lights
to be.
Are out.
It's just a mass of people in various lines, right?
Yeah, yeah.
And a couple of curtains. There's no signs. There's
right.
nothing I can see, right?
Right.
And in addition to that, they also have a bar in the lobby.
Mm-hmm.
And the bar was operating as normal. It was a bar. It's a full bar.
Okay.
In this theater. But in addition to the drink tickets, which were good for one specific drink, you could exchange them for one drink that was being deposited out of like a jug.
Okay. Yeah.
You know, like a water cooler type thing, but
right.
with, it was like punch or something. Some kind of rum punch. But they also had a full bar service going. So there are hundreds of people, literally hundreds of people packed into the bar area.
Yeah.
And at no point until the movie starts does this space open up to the point where you can see anything.
Right.
Because it's just this mass of people. I waited 45 minutes for a glass of wine.
Yeah.
While little trays of appetizers moved around.
But there was no food.
There was no food service. They had appetizers as part of the reception.
I see what you mean.
Now, that does me no good because I didn't actually get to sample any of the appetizers. So anyway, the opening of this venue was not great, right?
Yeah.
But I'm saying to myself as this is happening, I should cut them some slack because it's opening night.
Yeah.
You know, they didn't know any better. They're working on it, right?
Yeah.
And then afterwards, I actually talked to one of the managers, and he was very apologetic. No, no, he came up to me, and he said,
"Oh, he came up to you."
He came up to me. Yeah,
John, I'm so sorry.
That's exactly what he did,
John.
He said we oversold this. We shouldn't have done that. You know, we're really sorry. Yeah, we hope you'll come back.
Please don't write this up.
And I'm
please don't review us poorly on the archive.
Well, I'll get there. And I'm thinking in the back of my head, I'm never coming back to this theater again, you know, because it was a miserable experience. The movie, 20 minutes go by in the opening of the movie, and there are these lights on in the theater.
Oh, no.
And it wasn't like, you know, oh, they automatically do that. They were just blending down, you know, slowly. No, at like 20 minute mark, somebody realized the lights were on, and all of a sudden they go out.
Oh, wow.
It was very jarring. Anyway, so I had a lot of issues, but
wait. So the guy came up to you, he's like, "John, I'm so sorry."
Oh yeah, he just said, you know, we should have done this, we shouldn't have done that.
Please,
we hope you'll come back, you know, and you know, we've got all these plans. We're gonna, you know, do this. We're
gonna
do that. The thing. Let me get this out, okay? Because I think this is going back to the root of the problem.
Well, wait. Before you get to the root. Did he say to you, like, hands clasped, you know, in sort of a prayer, you know, kind of formation? After a moment, did he just, am I getting the archive endorsement?
He didn't say that in so many words.
Okay. But you could tell.
I could tell. I could read it in his face. In his head. Yeah. Yeah.
Will you bring Drew?
Will he like this better than the chase?
Like, I heard the chase.
Will he please like this better than the chase? We made this theater for him. The guy, all anybody talks about with this theater, like at the whole course of the night, they're like, we can't wait for you to come back and try the food. And I'm like, play the movie, for God's sake. Yeah. It's a movie theater.
Yeah.
The food? What?
Yeah.
And that's the problem. That is the problem. They are promoting this theater as a step above other dine-in theaters. That's their thing. They're saying, you know, you can go to one of these dine-in theaters that are becoming more and more popular and prominent, and you can get basically overpriced bar food, or you can go here and get overpriced gourmet food.
Right.
And they show, they passed out menus. This is great. Like, I'm walking out of the theater, and they've got guys standing there at the door passing out these pieces of paper, and I'm like, oh, is this a comment card? Because I can make some comments.
Yeah.
No, it's a menu. It's a copy of the menu to allegedly entice you back or something.
Coming soon.
Yeah. Well,
that's what they'll have instead of movie posters.
Right, yeah. Coming soon to the menu.
Asparagus wraps.
And I don't have a problem with them trying something new. I just wish they wouldn't half-ass it, you know? Mm. Like, if you're going to do something really inventive and the focus is on the food, make the focus be on the food. Don't put it in a movie theater, you know?
Yeah.
Have it be a restaurant that's movie-themed or something.
Yeah, make the movie themed to the food.
Yeah. Change the menu based on the movie.
This is an old argument, too, but could you change the food based on the movie? Can you have movie-themed food?
Yeah. That's what I just said. Change the menu according to the
Kool-Aid
movie.
Kool-Aid dispenser that's like elevator doors. And the movie you watch is The Shining.
But they'll never show The Shining at this theater.
You didn't like that idea before.
I love it now.
So much actually to talk about with theaters.
We got a lot with just this one, yeah.
I want to quickly say, we didn't talk about like concessions or like some of these trends, like the D box or like what is in a movie theater.
Right.
But I'm gonna say we're not gonna talk about that because there's other things I'd rather touch on with movie theaters, and then we'll move on to the next one.
All right.
And one is the theater intro, the theater company itself. So
like their little commercial bumper at the beginning of the movie.
So in St. Louis, we have Werenberg is one of the predominant theater owners. It's a local,
locally based
company,
family owned.
Yeah, and now it's a chain, so it's I guess whoever.
But it's still family operated. Like they're a private company,
right?
Yeah.
There's a classic Werenberg intro that I think everyone absolutely loved
as a kid. And widely beloved.
I guess around their, what year anniversary was it that they...
It was probably their like 40th or 50th.
Yeah, they revamped it. They did a new intro, computer graphics.
Oh, right. And with the board kid.
Wait, I'll get to the board kid. He's not yet. Board kid isn't yet. First, they just revamped all the graphics. It's 3D. And they did a new intro, and they sort of hearkened to the original, but it's not nearly as good.
Yeah.
But what the main problem with it is at the end of the intro,
it had these
beams of light on either side of the logo, and like brighter little sort of light balls would travel up these beams of light. And when that happened, you would hear, Werenberg, Werenberg.
Yeah, it was this little echoing whisper effect on the soundtrack.
It became the funniest thing in the world for everyone to go, Werenberg, Werenberg, like mimic it.
And every time.
And then
every
the true genius would change up and they'd say, AMC.
Oh.
Right? The real.
I'm going to be sick. I'm going to be sick so on then, this episode.
After, then they revamped that again for their like 50th anniversary, I think, the 50-year anniversary.
Yeah.
And that's when they started to show like different, they kind of showed, charted the timeline of Werenberg from the first theater up to the new modern awesome theaters, in quotes.
Right.
but one of those is the Ronnie's Theater, which I believe we talked about.
Yeah.
And what's really phenomenal is that there's this photo, and it's a photo of the lobby at Ronnie's. And, you know, you're supposed to be like, oh, yeah, theater, cool.
Yeah.
And it right in the middle of the photo, there's a kid, a worker, an employee of Werenberg sitting at a table. It's probably some sort of promotion going on when they took the photo. But he's sitting there, his head's in his hand.
Like, it's like he's asleep in math class. Yeah.
He looks so bored. It's amazing. Oh, man, I love it. But I also love that now there's about 12 different intros on these things. Like, you have to watch, if God forbid you're at an IMAX theater.
Oh, yeah.
Because
then
there's
the IMAX
three
promo.
Different IMAX promos.
Yeah.
There's like, you're watching an IMAX theater. And then it'll be like, countdown to IMAX experience. And it's all this bullshit about like optimizing. I don't even know. It's like the Voltron, you know, chant.
Dynatherms connected.
Infracells up. Mega thrusters are go. Let's go IMAX. And then like there's this, then it's got to tell you about the DLP audio.
Then,
like, there's the storm of sound. And that's also audio, DTS, I think, or DTTS.
Some acronym, yeah.
And then the worst of them now, the worst that I see, and it makes me want to laugh every time, is Cinedime. So Cinedime is spelled C-I-N-E-D-I-G-M. And what you probably could determine beforehand is that Cinedime is an amalgam of two words. Cinema and paradigm, right?
Yeah.
So it's this like 80s sort of logo that comes on the screen. And it goes, whoosh, whoosh, Cinedime, a new paradigm in cinema. It literally says that.
And that's all it says.
It's so loud.
That's all it says.
I know.
It doesn't tell you anything about
what
it is.
And I keep asking myself, who are these promos for? Who's like, who are you selling
Cinedime?
To? Oh, Cinedime. I want that for my television.
For my new paradigm
IMAX,
in cinema.
Yeah. First, I'd like to know, what are the show times for Silver Linings Playbook? Okay, thank you. And then is that in a Cinedime screening? Because I don't see movies that aren't Cinedime.
I like that you go into like Best Buy or something. You're gonna like buy a new TV.
Cinedime like,
yeah.
TVs.
So, this 70 inch TV is great. But okay, I'm looking at this. Yeah, right. It's got the anti glare. It's got the thing. Yeah,
it's
LED.
It's 1080.
Right. Is this a Cinedime? Is this a Cinedime TV? I don't see that on here.
Where's the Cinedime?
Where are the Cinedime
TVs? Do you carry
TVs?
Cinedime?
Oh, you don't.
Oh. Well, I'm gonna be leaving.
All right.
Okay, one last thing, because I would feel really bad if we didn't take a listener
comment. Oh, yeah.
Super fan Diana agrees with me.
No,
it's in the comments,
no,
so you could read it.
Yeah. She agrees with you, but she's in my camp.
Yeah, but about people going
she's
to
in my it. Camp. We're gonna sit around the campfire and talk about how much we hate people.
She says that while I agree with Drew on the necessary aspects of a movie theater, I am in John's camp in the sense that I have effectively stopped going to theaters altogether due to the clientele. However, what's much better than that comment is her next comment, yeah. where she describes an experience. She went to see, at the Tivoli here in St. Louis. She saw Jerry Seinfeld's Comedian. And about 25 minutes into the movie, a cat decided to sit in front of the projector, obscuring about a third of the screen with a perfect cat-shaped silhouette. It remained there for about half an hour before moving on. I'm fairly certain it actually improved the movie. I would absolutely see a movie that had a cat in front of the projector.
What a brilliant idea. Yeah.
See, Tivoli's smart.
Yeah.
Okay, let's move on.
All right.
Gosh, we really went.
Yeah,
it's
we talked
topic.
About that. It is. And I think we're probably going to come back to it again.
This one may go long. It's may go a little long. We apologize.
Long. We'll see.
We hope you enjoy it.
We'll see.
So the next one was theme restaurants?
We talked about theme restaurants.
We covered it.
I think we gave a pretty comprehensive assessment
Nobody
of theme restaurants.
And no one had
Everybody
anything
was
to
blown
say,
away.
So, yeah,
so,
exactly.
Yeah.
So let's move on.
Episode 50 was our big anniversary special. And I thought this one was going to draw a little bit more commentary.
Yeah.
But we talked about high school for this one.
Yeah, we didn't. I thought tumultuous. We might get some anecdotes from other people's high school experiences. But
yeah, maybe we will down the line. Again, I think this is one that'll probably surface.
Well, and it's a hard, one to talk about, I think, for people, right? A lot of feelings, a lot of emotions.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
We had to spend, do 49 episodes before we were ready.
Before we could even, muster.
Yeah.
Yeah. Muster the nerve to... speaking of high school, episode 51 was Fast Times at Ridgemont High.
We followed high school adroitly with...
I think that was a good 1-2 punch.
Oh, I do.
I liked it.
Yeah.
Worked out well.
But we have nothing else to say on
we
that.
We don't. Yeah. No, we covered it.
Good movie.
Good
still
movie.
Good.
Yeah, if you haven't seen it, go watch it.
Yeah.
And then listen to the show.
Yeah.
Okay. Episode 52, right in time for the big day, was Christmas presents.
Christmas presents. And I had something I forgot to mention on the show. It's an anecdote from when I was younger. And I was probably early teen at this point. And I had created my own slang. The word cool or the word awesome didn't really work for me anymore, to properly encapsulate, feelings of joy.
Right.
Or awe.
You needed the verbal equivalent of your shoe shirt is what you needed.
Yes. That's a good point.
Right.
And because this involves a shirt. So. Oh. For Christmas that year, I received a shirt that was a Mystery Science Theater 3000 shirt.
Good.
This is at the, Mystery Science Theater 3000 was big.
Like mid-90s?
In the circles
early
I ran
to mid-90s?
In. Yeah. And so I was really excited, and there's video of this. I wonder if I can find it. I should see if I can find it and somehow capture the audio.
Yeah.
And if I can, we'll put it in. But basically, I get this shirt and I open it up and I use my slang term. So instead of saying cool or awesome, what I say is buddies. That would be the plural of buddy. And I actually use this a lot.
Like genuinely.
There was no irony.
There was no affectation here.
This is before irony existed.
Right.
I was under the impression that it was a great substitute for
cool.
Yeah.
Awesome. Buddies.
Buddies. You can use it too.
Buddies.
Buddies. At that time in my life, I was also heavily employing the phrase nothing doing. because I...
With equal sincerity
which
nothing you
doing.
Addressed.
Yeah.
Buddies.
Because I had read it in a Calvin and Hobbes strip, and Hobbes had said it, I think, and I was like, that's awesome. That's a great way to say
nothing doing.
I'm not going to do it. Nothing doing. So you can use both of those.
I'll
tell you what, if you tell me that you're going to use buddies, I will start using it again.
Okay.
All right.
Yeah, you can let us know in the comments if
that's,
you endorse buddies.
Oh, God,
buddies.
We haven't been addenduming.
Oh, you mean chunking?
Yeah. So how many we've talked about? Two?
That's like,
two episodes. Let's addendum movie theaters.
Oh, no, it killed you.
I have a coughing fit. Yeah, you hit me with the stamp. And then addendums, Christmas presents. Ka-chunk. You're falling apart. We're also haven't been, we shoved both of those in the archive river, and they're floating back into, into the archive.
Yeah.
I knew that.
Thank you. Nice. You're welcome. Back in. You're welcome. Better license. Why do I say that? Because if I don't, I'll be mad.
He's imbued with a Christmas spirit.
Oh, cool! Mystery Science Theater 3000, buddy!
Are you kidding? In the not-too-distant future...
Okay, what's next?
Oh, yeah. Next is the first of our two-part DC Cinematic Universe discussion on Superman. This was episode 53.
Oh, I did that last time. I can't do that again.
You just had a note on here about DC making an announcement recently.
Yeah, and I don't know if this was like an official announcement. I don't know if they officially announced it or but the source was apparently a reliable one, or maybe multiple. But the claim or the statement from DC is that if Man of Steel is not successful, there will be no Justice League movie.
And I'm going to say, if that is a genuine statement on the part of DC Comics, like if that is their position, I think it's a bluff.
Oh.
I think it is a means of stuffing the box office for Man of Steel.
Exactly.
I think it is they realize they've got this movie that is not going to appeal to diehard superhero Superman fans, and they've got it's not going to appeal to
Superman
just your
pants.
Super pants. It's not going to appeal to just your average moviegoer because it's too weird or it's too dark or whatever.
Yeah.
And so I think they're saying like, okay, you guys,
if
you want to see
this
Justice League movie, you better prove it by going to see Man of Steel. You better do that.
The other thing I read recently, maybe today, was that the latest script for Justice League has been completely thrown out.
Terrible is what I heard. Yeah, heard it was awful.
So if their plan
I swear I don't want to like dance on DC's grave. I really do sort of hope that they will put something together. Awesome.
Well, we said it before. I would love to see a Justice League movie, but. Just based on
I am kind of dancing on Zack Snyder's grave a little bit.
Why not?
Yeah. Even though he's still alive.
I bet he's a really nice person.
He probably is.
I bet you'd get along. I bet you'd be friends. And then one day he'd ask you, hey, you know, you never told me what you thought about
any of my movies.
Okay.
Addendum.
Ka-chunk.
Good deal.
It's in the river.
So episode 54 was our take on the Batman portion of the cinematic universe. And we, listening back to that, it occurred to me that we really sort of blew through the Tim Burton Batman movies and really just focused on the Christopher Nolan ones.
There was so much to point out about how bad those Nolan movies are.
Well, I think... while that is an accurate statement, I think the real reason we did that was because we were concentrating on the formation of this
the cinematic universe,
right? Which I think is distinct from the Batman or the Burton Batman movies.
Yeah. Well, I mean, Batman and Batman Returns, the first two Burton Batman films. I loved, you know, when they came out, and it's easy to say that it's easy for me to say that they're superior to Nolan's movies. You know, I will freely admit that part of that is nostalgia, you know, but they aren't without their flaws, certainly.
Right.
But I think, you know, I think Burton had a vision, as he always seems to, and it wasn't overplayed yet, I think. So it felt right for Batman.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought he struck a nice balance between sort of the absurd aspects of Batman you know, his mm-hmm. villain, his rogues gallery and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
And also made it, you know, dramatic and interesting to watch.
I think, and you don't have to agree with me on this.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I think those movies are going to be longer lasting relics than the Nolan movies are.
I want to believe
they are, because I think they're just oddball enough that yeah. people can look at them without any nostalgia
yeah.
and watch them and
people
be like,
will go back and be like, what a weird
what
Batman
in the
movie.
Hell is this? Yeah. But it'll be entertaining for yeah. them. Whereas I don't think the Nolan movies, I don't think they differentiate themselves enough from other, like, if you add just a slight sheen to Nolan's movies, you basically have those Bourne Identity movies.
Mm.
You know, there's just not enough differentiation there. And part of it, it's intentional, I'm sure. You know, he wants it to be grounded in the real world. But I feel like they are going to fade, I think, ultimately. Unless this DC universe takes off and that is, it becomes the linchpin for it, you know. But I don't think it's going to last. I don't think 30 years from now people will look at those the way we look at Burton stuff 10 years from now. I don't know. That's my thought.
When you say add a slight sheen,
mm-hmm.
do you mean like a skinny Charlie Sheen? Like have him like digitally
yeah,
insert
like,
him?
Like Major League Charlie Sheen. Just a bit outside.
That's his best movie.
Yeah.
I think the problem that those movies face as far as being remembered is they're amidst a sea of grittiness.
Yeah.
And so they don't stand yeah. up. I mean,
Burton's movies were weird at the time.
Yeah.
You know, there wasn't really anything doing that.
Now, the one thing that could hinder those movies is that now you look at all of Burton's movies and they're all weird.
Yeah.
And yeah. so, like, they don't stand out in the Burton collection.
Except that they were good.
Yeah, except that they were,
his current movies are, well.
Yeah, a little not. I don't think you're totally wrong about that, but, I mean, I think we may be biased as well.
Sure. And right.
Is that it?
That's it.
Addendum.
All right, episode 55.
I should have said addendum.
Right?
Yes.
Good. I'm glad you rectified that. Our winter mixtape, how we kicked off the new year. Lots of good feedback on that one. So much good feedback. We just don't have time to get into it.
We'll do another episode just for feedback for that one.
For that one episode.
Yeah, we'll play the songs again.
Yeah. Yeah,
because I know that people are really scrambling,
yeah,
to be heard on those on that topic.
So our next episode was Suburbia.
Yeah,
and we got some good feedback on this one.
What's that song?
That I really liked
The Descendants.
Suburban
I
Home.
Want to be stereotyped. I want to be classified.
It's a great song.
That was in there, right?
Yeah.
Diana came in with a pretty impressive
wow
comment on this one.
Yeah, very good.
Should I just read it? Verbatim?
Yeah.
Yeah. Whew. Okay. I'd like to assert that what John describes as suburbs, in quotes, are actually exoburbs, in quotes. These are the remote, usually new, housing developments built on farmland well outside the edges of a major city, but not far enough out that they are their own true municipality, although this may eventually happen over time as jobs and commerce grow. I think there is a need to distinguish these places from the more dense, populated suburbs that Drew and I grew up in. While my house was easily 20 to 30 minutes out from the city, the suburb I grew up in was dense and bustling, and I had parks, schools, a video store, pet stores, a pharmacy, and more all more or less
and
more all less than half a mile radius from my house. The neighborhood kids biked all over the area without trouble. Many of these suburbs started out as so-called exoburbs when they were first built. When I think of early exoburbs, I think of Elliot's neighborhood in E.T. He had a cornfield behind his house, for heaven's sake, and a gigantic forest down the road. 30 years later, there's no question that is a suburb, but some other housing development, even further from the city, has become the exoburb. These are products of large cities that support seemingly endless sprawl. The D.C. metro area, for example, supports exoburbs over an hour from the city itself.
Which Whew. I think is that is a spectacular comment, and I think she's totally right.
Yeah.
And I think, and to clarify this for anybody who hadn't listened to that episode, what I was referring to, that Diana clearly nailed, is the concept of the exoburb. My familiarity growing up with suburbs was literally moving from a densely populated urban area and going immediately into this sort of like a I'm picturing like tumbleweeds and
stuff.
So there was no middle ground, you know, for me in my experience. So I think, but I think she's totally right.
Yeah.
However, I will add on that I've actually been, I think the E.T. mention is great. She's totally right.
I was
pretty
happy with that myself.
That's great.
Yeah.
I've actually been to that neighborhood.
Whoa, you've been there.
I have been to that neighborhood.
You rode a bike through it.
I did not.
you really missed an opportunity.
Believe me, I tried. I tried to steal
get
a kid's
bike.
Yeah.
Sir, get off that bike. How old were you?
I was probably about 23.
Sir, get off 25. That bike.
Yeah, this was like, I don't know, 5 or 7 years ago, maybe a little bit more. But that neighborhood, while it has grown, you know, the fields and stuff have been filled in. It's all just houses and like a 7-Eleven.
Yeah.
There's really still not much Corn in that area.
Gone.
Yeah.
That may have been a set.
Yeah. That mountain is really there, but there isn't a forest on it. It's just dirt. Yeah.
You run up to a kid and you're like, hey, kid, I need to borrow your hover bike. Keep it. I got a pit bull now. She also answered the poll, which I should say, I actually got a lot of poll answers.
Oh, did you? Oh,
in
good.
Person from listeners. Oh. And the resounding majority was pretty much what Diana said. So the question was, if you live in a suburb attached to a city and someone asks you, where are you from? What do you say? Do you say the city?
Do you cite the city or do you cite
the neighborhood?
Yeah.
So pretty much everyone agreed that they tailor their answer based on who they're talking to. So if they're talking to someone who would have no idea what Valley Park, Missouri is, they would say St. Louis.
Right.
Whereas if you're talking to the local, you would probably tell them, you know, exactly where you're from.
Yeah. Which makes perfect sense.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Why didn't we see that?
I don't know. We were too busy talking about Naperville.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Should we move on?
Yeah, I think that covers it.
What's next? Addendum.
Next up. That was a big one.
Yeah.
That was a big stamp. Episode 57 was breakfast.
Oh, I really liked this episode.
Yeah, I thought this turned out really great.
One of
too.
Our best.
I liked it.
Well, I said in the episode that I had a problem with brunch, and I didn't. I claimed that I would, you know, elaborate on that later, but I never did.
And then the brunch mafia came out of the woodwork.
Yeah, we got a comment.
Take you down.
We got a comment on the website from Ashley. What? Right?
Yeah. Yeah.
What's Drew's beef with brunch? And I'll tell you, Ashley, and I'll tell all of you.
No, actually, that was Ashley's comment was about pancakes.
Oh, okay.
It was Diana who questioned.
Diana said,
what's your beef?
Well, I'll tell
brunch.
You, Diana, and I'll also tell Ashley and anyone else who wants to listen. Here's my problem. Here's my beef with brunch. Make up your mind. Do you want lunch or breakfast? You can't have both. I'm really frustrated by they're almost always buffets too. But
yeah, frequently.
Brunches are generally a buffet scenario. And look, I don't want, you know, like a steak sitting next to my eggs. No, I don't like the mixing of these meals. I just don't. And I feel like, you know, brunch, and I'm going to make a statement here. It's probably going to get me in trouble. Brunch is for the lazy.
The mafia is listening.
Brunch is for those of you who can't, you know, muster the courage or the will to get up early enough for breakfast. And, you know, I feel like if you're not dedicated enough to do that, you don't deserve breakfast. There you go. That's my inflammatory statement for this episode. And I'll hear about it, I'm sure.
Oh man, I can't even. I'm done with this.
Where do you
one.
Fall? Where do you fall in,
no,
in terms
I,
of?
I see where you're coming from. I don't think I feel as passionately about it as you do. You know, I'm not offended by brunch. I simply choose not to engage in brunch. If I will go to a place that offers brunch, yeah. I will happily go there, and I will focus solely on one or the other. I will get lunch items,
yeah,
or I will get breakfast items.
Yeah, I mean, look, I don't hate brunch. I'm not going to get mad at people for brunch.
I think you just did. You're committed now, buddy. You better be careful when you get into your car tonight. You're going to, like, turn the ignition, and syrup's just going to ooze out of the...
But it'll be syrup mixed with, like, ranch dressing or something, because it's both. Yeah. And it won't be effective, because brunch never is. Then what do you eat? What do you do? Or is that your whole, like, that blows away breakfast and lunch? Why don't you just eat lunch at that point? What brunch? What, okay, give me a time frame for brunch. Do you know?
10 to 2. 10 a.m. to 2 p.m.
Excuse what? It sure. goes all the way till 2?
Yeah.
Breakfast. Usually. Breakfast can be every meal. I'll give you that. You can have breakfast for breakfast, lunch,
but you
and
can't
dinner.
Have it for brunch
because it's not all the way. God, 11 o'clock and you're just eat lunch.
But you just said you could have breakfast at any meal,
but only have breakfast. Don't have like an egg and grilled cheese. Okay. I won't have it. What did Ashley say about pancakes?
Oh, she linked to your drawing of her.
Oh, that's right.
When
yeah,
you were
yeah.
asking about
pancakes.
Why does she always yeah. want to offer you pancakes?
Early on in our relationship, she was always offering pancakes. I've had her pancakes.
She's a smart lady.
They're good. I had them recently. And
nice.
But here's the problem I've run into, and I made this clear to her. I'm doing wonders for my relationship. We have breakfast, right? Uh-huh. We really enjoy having breakfast.
Right, right? Not brunch.
And she makes breakfast, and it's awesome. Huh. I absolutely love it. And I'm really lazy, and I don't even help. The last couple times she's made pancakes, she's made them in addition to bacon and eggs. Mm-hmm. And that sounds awesome. And it, you know, on paper, that's a great idea. Yes. Bacon, eggs, and pancakes.
Yeah.
But the problem is I don't know which to eat first. Like I want to tuck into that, the bacon and eggs. Mm-hmm. And then the pancakes get cold. But if I tuck into the pancakes, the bacon and eggs are going to get cold. So
are you one of those people who exclusively eats one
yeah,
thing
yeah,
and
yeah,
then
yeah,
moves on
yeah.
to the other?
Well, here's okay. the thing. The pancakes offer an extra complication in that I don't want them mingling with the bacon and eggs. They're on a separate plate because they're going to have syrup.
Right.
And I don't really want...
You don't want syrup
The syrup on
your,
the bacon wouldn't be so bad, but it's
it
the
eggs,
eggs primarily. Plus, yeah. I'm going to cut those eggs up and yolk's going to get everywhere. So the problem is not like the problem is I'm faced with that crisis I always have when I'm ordering breakfast, right? Like I want it all, and I want it all, I want it all. That's the song, right?
I don't know.
I want it now. It's like a rock song.
Yeah. It's like that.
The problem is. I've got it, you know? Like I wanted pancakes and eggs mm-hmm. and bacon. I got it. And it's a what is it? I got what I asked for.
Yeah.
And I paid the price. So there, that's a cautionary tale to everyone.
Okay.
Just make sure that you, if you're like me and you eat things, you know.
Compartmentally?
Yeah. But the bacon and eggs I eat together.
Okay.
But the pancakes, yeah, I eat them on their own. And so they get cold. And Ashley is like loving her pancakes. Sitting there eating her pancakes, totally yeah. enjoying them. And I'm like jealous. okay. My buddy Jeff, aka Tanzit, my online friend, he had something to say about breakfast.
Oh yeah?
Yeah. He told me that he was like super hungry through the whole episode. So I think we've done our
I think
job.
That's a compliment.
Yeah,
though.
I did too. Yeah. He said there's a place where he lives called Union Street Diner. That he goes to, and it's open 24/7, serves breakfast all day.
That's brilliant.
The thing of beauty.
I think that is a sign of a diner. Now, if we ever do an episode about diners, that's going to be one of the qualifiers.
Can we do an episode about diners, drive-ins, and dives?
No. No, we can't.
Okay.
But we could do an episode on diners. But yeah. I think that's a factor that you have to take into account. Like, it's not a real diner if it doesn't serve breakfast all day long.
Yeah, agreed. That's, man.
That's great. Well, we got to go to this Union Street place.
I know. I think it's in Ohio.
Okay.
So he can meet
Let's
us
go.
There.
Yeah.
And here's the word.
I bet that place doesn't serve brunch.
Yeah, exactly. I hope it doesn't. He'll let us know. Here's where he and I stop being friends, though.
Oh.
He likes chewy bacon.
Well...
I think he's British, because I think the British like chewy bacon.
They do chewy bacon.
Well, I've been to England a couple times, and you know, maybe this was the hotel I was staying in, but they served breakfast, and the bacon was like floppy and gross.
Mm.
But I don't know. Maybe look, as long as you're enjoying bacon, right? I shouldn't.
Yeah,
I shouldn't. You know who else loves bacon? Did I say that? Josh, my nephew.
Oh, no.
Man, that kid.
He's a bacon fan?
Oh, yeah.
You're grooming him well.
Yeah. And then finally, once again, super fan Diana agrees with us that St. Louis is...
Yeah, collectively. Like, not just one of us.
Yeah. We both get the seal of approval here that St. Louis does indeed have the best donuts. And she's not a local. She's...
Yeah.
I shouldn't say where she lives. She lives not in St. Louis.
She's actually been around the world.
Yeah, she's lived in various areas of the country.
Yeah.
And she agrees we've got the best donuts. I think she even said she misses our donuts.
She did. Yeah. It's understandable.
We should send her a donation.
Oh, yeah.
No, I'll probably eat it.
Reverse donation.
She should send us the donation. That's breakfast. Addendum. they're big stamps.
Just an alley creeper, light on his feet. A young fighter screaming, with no time for doubt. With the pain and anger, can't see a way out. It ain't much I'm asking, I heard him say. Gotta find me a future, move out of my way. I want it all.
Awards shows.
Yeah.
As we record this, there has recently been an awards show, the Grammys.
Yeah, that did happen.
And the archive mixtape featured band Fun won a Grammy for what I think is the worst song on the album.
what award did they win?
I don't know. Best? Best. Have no idea.
Hey, that's our award.
It was for We Were Young.
Right.
Right?
So it was for a song.
Yeah.
Okay.
Huh. I'm like, how is that not so nice? Honor us? That's the song on that album.
Yeah, no kidding.
Anyway. I wanted you made a point on that episode when we were talking about awards getting or movies getting awards because the public demands that they do.
Mm-hmm.
And you cited Titanic, and you know,
mm-hmm.
I think you made the case that Titanic, not a great movie,
right?
But because the public was so behind it, the Academy had to give it that award, and that had they not, that would have been a big sort of mark on the Academy, right?
Yeah.
And when I was listening to that, I was actually thinking, well, I bet that would be even more remembered were it snubbed.
I don't know. Maybe.
Maybe. I think
I'll give you an example. E.T. was nominated for Best Picture in 1982, and the award went to Gandhi.
Ooh, no one likes Gandhi.
No.
Everyone loves
E.T. Eat something already.
We get it.
Eat some brunch.
Oh, don't do that. my argument, or what I thought was that had Titanic been snubbed, the other movies nominated as well as the winner wouldn't have been remembered because of the controversy that Titanic was snubbed. But you know, maybe your point about Gandhi completely blows that out of the water.
Mm-hmm.
Out of the water. Titanic. I had a I talked about it in the episode, but we had to cut it for time,
right?
There's something that happens with these awards shows that only recently I thought about and kind of got frustrated by. And that is people getting an award because they seemingly deserve it because they haven't gotten one yet.
Mm-hmm.
So they'll like get an award for a lesser work because they're owed one at this point.
Right. The Academy feels obligated or something.
Right. Yeah. And my problem with that is like, I get that, you know, but now you're just setting up a sort of infinite loop of people being snubbed when they should have gotten an award, you know. So, like, let's say this year, people always bring up Leonardo DiCaprio, right? Has not been recognized.
Yeah.
And so, you know, you're just waiting for the day that he does some kind of not so great movie but gets the Oscar because he deserves it. And the problem there is like, well, he didn't deserve it that time, you know?
Yeah.
And you're now...
It further delegitimizes the Academy's...
You know, Joe Actor over here who did a great performance, now we're going to be talking about how he deserves one.
Yeah.
And when's he going to get the Oscar he deserves or what have you, right?
Yeah, because that's the thing. When you give it to somebody for an instance that they don't deserve it, you are taking it away from people who were at least nominated, you know, because enough people thought highly of their work. You're taking it away from them.
And I feel like you can't, and here, you know, sit down because I'm going to defend the Academy or whatever.
Oh.
Like, you know, they have a system and you sort of rolled your eyes at that. the Academy votes.
Yeah.
Yeah. And if Leo didn't win, it's because the Academy felt that someone else did better.
Not, right, yeah.
And while that doesn't mean he didn't do a good job.
It's a flawed system as much as humanity is a flawed system.
Oh, yeah.
You know?
The Oscars, and in fact all awards shows...
They really speak to
They hold
our
a
humanity.
Mirror up to humanity, don't they?
They do.
Wow. I'm behind them now. I'm going to watch them all. I want to know what the humans are like. that's award shows addendumed. You want to you stamp it?
All right.
Oh, he used the new stamp. I had nothing there. directors,
A-list. Not a list of directors, but
well, it was. So Ashley commented that she thinks we should watch some Fellini movies.
Yeah,
right.
And to answer the question, whether we're going to continue that, we are.
Yeah, yeah.
We thought we might split it up a little bit rather than run through them all, because we think it could end up being kind of a long series. There's a lot of different ways you can address that topic.
Yeah, at this point, we have at least two other kind of groupings
to
talk about, but
yeah.
And one of those I think is legends, right?
Yes,
legendary directors, and so Fellini, I'm sure would.
You know, I think he might even be in another category, because I feel like there's maybe or maybe even like a generational thing, because the
old-timey?
He's part of old timey director. Sit upon my knee and listen to a story of directors. His era, most of Fellini's, I think what's regarded as his best stuff, came out in the early to mid 60s.
Yeah.
Which was there was a lot of burgeoning, directors, particularly in Europe, I think that had their best work come out in that period.
Isn't Europe like such a weird part of the cinematic history, like the different things that were going on in the film industry of Europe,
yeah,
are just so odd.
It's pretty interesting, and I think this is why they've managed to remain respectable in a way that American cinema maybe hasn't.
Yeah,
broadly, you know,
yeah,
like I think people regard, and certainly in the United States, regard European cinema as being more ambitious,
higher cinema, right?
Yeah, but they have been frequently, and in this was the case too, you know, sort of ahead of the curve.
Yeah,
you know, when Fellini was making 8.5, which is largely regarded as one of the best movies ever made, you know, the United States was making like Cleopatra. You know, there's a valid argument there.
Yeah,
I think. But anyway, yeah, we'll definitely get to Fellini, and
he will be considered,
and a bunch of other directors down the road. And I also wanted to mention too, I can't remember if we talked about this on the, I know we talked about it in person, but I don't remember if we talked about it on the show, that I was somewhat troubled by the fact that we did not talk about in our discussion any female directors.
Yeah. Yeah,
and the reason we didn't is because that in our projecting what we would anticipate the names that would be on a producer's A list, you know, we couldn't really think of anybody.
Bigelow,
I think. Well, Bigelow maybe now,
maybe now.
But you know what? The problem with Bigelow is that now she's gotten herself into a situation where it's expected that she's going to do controversial movies that may not necessarily have a mass appeal.
So she did Hurt Locker. And Zero Dark
Hurt Locker
30?
And Zero Dark 30. She also did Point Break.
Yeah.
And she did Near Dark.
Is she a producer too?
She might be.
Or is she just director?
She might be.
Well, and that's the other thing, you know, when you and I talked about this and the distinct lack of female directors in our conversation, I find that a lot of the power is that females have in the film industry seems to be in producing. Like,
yeah,
you've got like Penny Marshall, you've got
who's also a director.
Yeah, she's
directed.
Yeah. But I feel like she's
Kathleen Kennedy.
Yeah. There are definite female names, but I always see them attributed to producer role.
Yeah.
So I don't know what that means, or I don't know what this says, or maybe our, you know,
behind every great director, there's a great producer. I don't know.
Maybe our, you know, view on cinema is myopic, but I think the only thing I will say in our defense is we form that list based on what names will sell a movie, right?
Right.
Like, that was all like you need is the director's name, and people will probably go.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I please do tell me if I'm forgetting a female director that has that ability, and maybe I am.
Sure.
I want to know.
You are.
I am.
Maybe.
Probably.
But anyway, yeah, we will. We
and
will
I don't say that. I don't say that in like, oh, show me a woman who's done this. I don't want it to come off like that. Like,
yeah,
I,
yeah. Come on, prove me wrong, yeah, huh?
I genuinely do want to be proven wrong. You know,
right?
So, is that directors?
Yeah.
Addendum.
That's directors.
Stamp it.
We're gonna have to get like a soundboard in here for.
Oh, I know. We need like a little, yeah, sound effects thing.
Yeah.
All right.
All right. That brings us to our most recent episode, which was number 60, and this was on digital music. Started off being online music, and we decided that it covered a broader range of that.
I've had two. I've incited two arguments.
Good.
With two separate people on this topic.
And specifically with your perspective, right? Like, nobody cited me as being inaccurate,
yeah,
in any
it's
way.
Just me.
Yeah.
I'll say this. I'm glad that I've incited passion around this topic because I think it needs to be talked about.
I think it does.
It needs to be figured out. And I'll offer a few clarifications, but the primary problem that both of these parties had, I think, with my statements was, you know, that I accused people of stealing and was unforgiving in their reasoning for stealing.
Mm-hmm.
Right? I said, if you're stealing, you're stealing. Don't give me a bunch of bull crap about how you don't have the money or you don't, you know, that you're their biggest fan. Right?
Right.
I made these statements. Here's the thing. I didn't make myself clear, and I'm not trying to back away from that argument because I also have something to say about that. Mm-hmm. But I didn't make it clear that when I made that statement about stealing, I was actually talking about torrents, like sites like the Pirate Bay or...
Specifically downloading files.
Yeah, actually getting things for no money at all or no recompense to the artist whatsoever.
Right.
Like, you are taking, you know, you are breaking the law, and the repercussions may be absurd right now, and I think they are,
right,
for that kind of theft.
Yeah.
But the fact remains that you are taking... Right, what is not yours, and I'll concede it's a gray area, but one cannot say that the definition of stealing is a gray area. To take what is not yours is stealing, right?
Yes, stealing is taking what is not yours.
Right.
Yes.
Now, I made that statement, and we immediately started talking about streaming services. So it came off. And this is my own fault for not making clear what
providing
I meant.
That division. Yeah.
That I was saying that you're stealing if you're streaming, and you're not stealing, but you are aiding and abetting. And here's why.
Yeah.
Here's why. The so before streaming sites, we have record labels, and record labels are getting the major cut of money from the music being produced, right?
Right.
And that sucks. And it's always sucked.
Mm-hmm.
And now...
But now the trade-off has always been that, at least for a time, record labels were earning that money to a certain degree.
Yeah,
because,
they had reach. They could...
They would pay off radio stations with some of that money.
Exactly.
Yeah.
They do all the production of the physical, you know, copies of these things. So they are owed money, but I do think they took too much.
Sure.
Right?
It's very easy to go down that road.
Now, we're in an age where the old system's going away, and the new system is coming in, right? Mm-hmm. And we're all active participants in the new system. And what's great about right now, is that we all have a voice, and we're probably more powerful than we've ever been as a, you know, community, right? Of people who love and appreciate music or any art form or what have you, right?
Right.
Like, we can be heard, and we have, if we work together, have the power to make things happen.
Right.
Right. So what's happening is the old system's going away. The new system is coming in, and right now it looks like the new system is streaming, you know, the sites like RDO, Spotify, Pandora, what have you, that offer the music for a fee, you know, subscription fee, or offer the music for free with ads.
Mm-hmm.
Or so, there's some other, you know, there's always something give and take, right?
Right.
And right now the royalties are I think even lower for the artists than they were with record labels.
Yeah. They're pretty abysmal.
Yeah. And so to me, the person stealing in this instance is the streaming service.
Mm-hmm.
Right? They're getting a lot of money and not giving what is owed to the artist.
Right.
We are aiding and abetting in that theft.
Mm-hmm. I will. we are aiding and abetting the poor treatment of the artist
by that
system. But we are doing, we're instead of creating the ideal system,
mm-hmm.
or instead of favoring the ideal system, which is that there is no middleman
directly from the artist.
Right. Instead, we're transitioning from supporting one villain, the record label, and supporting another, the streaming site, which both are enabling us to access what we want,
mm-hmm.
and they're doing it at what we consider to be an excessive premium.
Yeah,
not on us. You know, the expense on us is not the premium. It's the what's doled out to the artists.
Yeah,
and now that I think about it, I think what record labels were paying is probably a pretty good amount of money. I think a closer model is probably like the iTunes, still a purchase model. I don't think you're getting as much through iTunes with every sale on iTunes as you did when you were getting direct royalties from records. So everybody is getting paid less now for music.
Right. It's a new frontier.
Yeah.
And like they're still figuring out what's fair or what, you know, how does this new system work?
Yeah.
And I think the, you know, we could really easily, because of how easy it is to use these streaming sites or to become excited about them,
mm-hmm.
it's really easy to ignore or just be completely unaware of
the repercussions.
Yeah. But see, so here's my hope is that even these streaming sites won't last very long.
Right.
And that what we'll get to quickly, because this, you know, like Moore's Law, right? Technology increases exponentially. I'll apply that to socioeconomical behavior. We will faster and faster go directly to the artist because the artist will be able to more and more be able to do these things on their own.
Yeah.
And give us what we want.
And I think they're getting there.
Yeah.
Yeah. They're very close to getting there.
So I'm sorry if you felt insulted by what I said. I genuinely do. I am sorry about that. And, you know, I made a lot of broad statements and that was unfair. That's all I'll say.
All right.
And I hope that my explanation is suitable. And if it isn't, you know, fair enough. I'm a jerk.
I forgive you. Let's talk about movie theaters some more.
I could.
All right.
Wait, stamp it.
Digital
music.
Sure.
Oh, wait, there's one more. There's one more on digital music. And this person wasn't as mad at me. This is my mom.
Uh-oh.
Oh, man, I got to bring up my dad, too. My mom, she sort of got on us because we acted like CDs weren't digital music when they are.
Oh, no, I think that's why we changed it. I think that's why we changed the name instead of online music to digital music.
But she felt that we lumped CDs in with like records, with analog.
Oh, okay.
And we may have just
I think we worked as a tactile physical thing.
Yeah, that's what that was what I told her, but you know, that's not good enough for her too.
Okay, well she makes a good point.
Yeah. And then my dad,
jumping on that too. I think people were having when CDs came out, I think people were having a lot of the same arguments that we were having or discussing, you know, the differences between when we're saying like, oh, you know, the there's this streaming thing or these online right. files, and then you have these like Puritans who are stuck to their CDs,
yeah.
you know, their
yeah.
physical media or whatever. And I feel like people were probably sort of saying the same thing about CDs
yeah.
when they came in, like, you know, oh, well, it's, you know, it's a lesser quality. It's not as.
Well, and I think, you know, they may have been right. I mean,
yeah, no,
I
absolutely.
Think records sort of stand up.
Yeah.
If
yeah.
you take care of them.
Right.
Right? And then speaking of that, my dad, I did talk about this, but we cut it for time, right?
Mm-hmm.
My dad, he is a lover of music,
mm-hmm.
And a collector, and he had in our living room, floor to ceiling shelves filled with vinyl, with, LPs,
which is such an awesome picture.
It like, was great. I might have a photo somewhere
That's
of it.
Excellent.
I should see if I can find it. Or maybe my mom has one. But he eventually, when CDs came out, he replaced all of them with CDs.
Mm-hmm.
So he got, you know, he got rid of the vinyl and he put a CD in its spot.
Hmm.
So then it was floor to ceiling CDs.
You could fit a lot more CDs in that same space.
Yeah. And he filled it.
That's awesome.
And then some. And then he got, you know, fed up with CDs and he bought this little hard drive, basically. It's like a hard drive music player.
Mm-hmm.
And he transferred every single CD onto this thing, and it's thousands and thousands of songs. Like, this was like a few months worth of work for him, and where he would, you know, just put a CD in,
mm-hmm.
rip it to the hard drive, take it out,
put
it in
the
next one. And so now everything is contained in this tiny little box, you know,
mm-hmm.
it's like, it's the size of a cigar box,
huh.
maybe smaller. And it's just funny how that has all sort of condensed down.
I remember doing the big
transition.
The big burn.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I also did the big burn, but I still keep my CDs.
Yeah. I didn't.
For the car.
What up?
I'm on G.
What are you up to now?
G.
Yeah.
The Get Up Kids. I was on F when we did the episode.
Yeah. So you're moving right along.
Yeah.
One
yeah.
letter a week.
Yeah. It's fun. I listened to fun. That was an F. So, Addendum Digital Music. Do it. Stamp it.
Chunk. Chunk.
This should be more melodic for that, right?
Chunk. Chunk.
There you go.
That's I like it.
That's it. Right?
That's it for now.
That's it for now. That's Addendum's number 4. And we've got, we're going to do it again once we get through another chunk of episodes.
Yeah.
Right?
So we'll see you there.
Continue
I mean,
to
we'll see you
tell
before
us,
that, but.
Tell us what you think.
Yeah.
Continue, and thank you so much for listening and commenting, and you guys are awesome.
Yes,
all
you are.
Seven of you.